Pastor Ray Bentley highlights today's study on Maranatha Radio.
This is one of the most crucial points in the entire chapter. The dragon persecutes the woman because the Messiah has already defeated him. He's already been judged. He's already been sentenced. And now the beginning of his ultimate and eternal downfall is coming to pass.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The devil's days are numbered. Revelation spells out exactly what will happen as our adversary loses his final confrontation with Almighty God. It's a day all the heavens have been eagerly awaiting since Satan fell. Today, Pastor Ray helps us understand the spiritual dynamics surrounding that event. Let's listen.
Let me begin by saying, we have now as kind of the new congregation of the Lord and under the new covenant, have crossed over the Jordan. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but once the ancient people of Israel crossed the Jordan River, it was then 7 years for them to possess the land that God had given and promised to Abraham. So also, I believe we have crossed the Jordan. And now before us are 7 years of what the Lord wants to do. And this time, it's not just limited to Israel, but it is the whole earth. And I believe that the analogy would be that the heart of the Father is that the whole gospel will now go to the whole world. And I am telling you that I believe that it is possible that we will literally, by the end of this decade, be able to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to every single human being, all 7 billion of them, on the planet. That's pretty incredible. And this has been confirmed by, there are many ministries that are kind of coming together for that, one of which some of you are involved in is called GMO, Global Mission Outreach. So what they're saying is, not only will they hear the gospel once, but their goal is that all 7 billion people will have been, in one way or another, confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ at least 7 times. You know, sometimes the first time you hear, and then second, and then third, and then it may be 4 or 5 times before finally you make a decision. So anyway, I believe that, listen, we are the first generation in human history who I believe are going to be alive when the fulfillment of the Great Commission takes place. And what did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel, which means good news of the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. So that's where we are. And it's exciting. This truly is the heart of the Father. And I believe the glory of the Lord is now on us. He is with us, in us, and upon us. And man, really, this is the heart of God, and this is what's going to happen all the way to the end. So I say, let the good times roll on. God is going to lead us all the way to kingdom come. So let's, now that's the good news. Now let me bring you where we are in the book of Revelation. I'm going to bring you right to the middle of the great tribulation. How encouraging is that? All right, let's go to verse 7. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 says, and war broke out in heaven. And by the way, I think that there is a pattern that can be made biblically that when there is war upon the earth, it is mirrored by spiritual warfare in the heavenlies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities, as Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians. But here in the book of Revelation, you know, let alone what's happening on the earth. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Messiah have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now, if I could go back and kind of recap what we talked about last time with those verses, it was a surprise for us to discover. Most people think, oh, the devil's down in hell, trying to get people to come down with him. In fact, we find out in the book of Revelation, and by the way, this is speaking of the future. He's in heaven. He is before the throne of God. What is he doing there? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 tells us what he is doing there. He's accusing the brethren and the sistren. He's accusing you and I who are believers of all of our failures and all of our sins and all of our mistakes and all of our, you know, things that we do that are wrong. And he points them out day and night. You remember in the book of Job, when God was bragging about his, have you seen my servant Job? And the devil came before him and said, well, no wonder, look how you bless him and you surround him with all these goodies and benefits. He's only following you for the stuff. He doesn't love you. And God said, really? Okay. You can remove, and God allowed. He let the comforts be taken away. And Job went through what he went through, but his heart was burned and purified, and he did love God, and he did trust in him. But even there, we find that where was the enemy? He was before the throne of God, accusing. He is still doing that today. But now, we find that at a point in the future, halfway through the tribulation, 3.5 years into it, God gives Michael the sign, and Michael and his angels, by the way, 2/3 of the angels are loyal to God, faithful to God. Only 1/3, a minority, rebelled. But God gives permission and unleashes the archangel, Michael, get him out of my face. I want him out of heaven. Kick him out. And Michael's like, yes, finally. And they go, and a big war takes place, and the devil is kicked out of heaven. He's no longer allowed to be there to accuse us before God. But then he comes down to the earth. So there's a party in heaven. They're like, woo, the devil's gone. He's out of here for good, gone. But then the angels look down and they go, whoa, to the earth. He's coming down to you, and he is angry. In many ways, many people don't realize this, as you read the book of Revelation, all these things that are happening, and they're blaming God. Really, much of what is happening during especially the last half of the tribulation for 3.5 years is the wrath of the devil. It's the wrath of Satan upon the earth. And therefore, when finally the wrath of God is revealed, it is the wrath of God that is overcoming the wrath of the devil and his purpose to destroy men. God's wrath devours him, judges him and the Antichrist and the beast to establish and bring in his kingdom. So this is a very important thing for us to realize. And then what's he so angry about? He knows his days are numbered and his time is short. So we pick up where we left off now in verse 13. It says, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now, the woman, as we saw, is a symbolic picture of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel and the old covenant that gave birth to the child, which is the Messiah, and the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah, through a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so Jesus came, and the Savior, and then died for us and was buried and then rose again for us. Well, now in the future, when the devil is kicked out of heaven and he comes to the earth, so he can't accuse us anymore, And he can't accuse us in the face of God anymore. And he is tied now to the earth. Who does he go after? He goes after the woman who brought forth the child, the Savior of the world. In other words, he goes after Israel. Just as he went after Israel for the first coming, so the devil will go after the Jewish people before the second coming of the Messiah. But here's something important, and I put a little paragraph because I wanted to underscore this. It cannot be stated too strongly that for the Apostle John and for his audience, those he's writing to in the book of Revelation, this is one of the most crucial points in the entire chapter. The dragon persecutes the woman because the Messiah has already defeated him. He's already been judged. He's already been sentenced. And now the beginning of his ultimate and eternal downfall is coming to pass. So he's angry, yes. He pursues the woman in the end of days, but the reason that he is persecuting her is because he is already defeated. Amen? So, it is important to notice, here we have the attack of Satan during the last half of the tribulation, and it will be his last, and I emphasize last, great effort to destroy the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. It will be short in terms of years, only 3.5, but extremely intense as far as the persecution is found.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. When listeners write to us, it's often a surprise the trials and challenges they faced, but we're glad to know they found encouragement.
Dear Ray Bentley, I have been going through trials and persecution for 7 years, but your radio ministry has made it possible to feel God's love again. I've always believed in the love and glory of the Lord, but my belief was buried due to the failure and anxiety in my life. I've recently come out of homelessness and illness. Now I see how the Lord made everything come together in His perfect time. I thank God for your teaching. May God bless you.
God's Word can make a powerful difference in our lives, no matter what trials or challenges we've faced. How have these studies encouraged you? Let Pastor Ray know. Write ray@raybentley.com. Again, that's ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So now let's pick up in verse 14. Where do we go from there? And it says, but the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. In other words, the woman is delivered. The devil is down to the earth. He goes after the woman, but the woman is delivered, and she is flying on the wings of eagles into the wilderness to a place that God has already prepared for her. And I want to emphasize this, that God has seen this, and this is going to be different than it has been in the past. That God has a place prepared and a place where they will be delivered and a place where they will be safe, guarded from the wrath of the devil and let alone the beast or the Antichrist. Just as God prepared a great fish for Jonah, so also the Lord has prepared a place for Israel so she might be spared from this intense attack that will come upon her in the end. And in fact, in the end, the Messiah comes himself and delivers not only her, but the entire world, and brings the kingdom of God. He comes, Revelation 1:7, and every eye shall see him, and his face shall shine 7 times the brightness of the sun. And he opens his mouth, and it's so powerful when he speaks, it's like a sword, and it devours the beast, the Antichrist, the devil is done, just by the word of the Lord. Now, the imagery that John is using here is from the Exodus. In which the angel filled pillars. You remember how it says that there were pillars? And what were those pillars? Pillars, yes, of fire and wings. In other words, they wasn't just some kind of, you know, cloudy thing. It was a manifestation of the very chariot throne of God. And these pillars of fire were the Shekinah glory, and the wings were the wings of millions and millions of angels. Wherever God himself allows himself to be seen, visibly manifest, his throne is surrounded not only by the fire and the glory of his presence, of which earthly fire and so forth is only a natural window or parable or picture, but it's also filled with the wings of millions of angels, cherubim, seraphim, and all the principalities, powers, mights, dominions, and names that are around him. These, as they carried in ancient times the Exodus, will also now carry the children of Israel. They were to be a people for his own possession, a kingdom of priests to God and a holy nation. Now read with me, I put into your notes Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Okay, so let's read this out loud together. Exodus 19, beginning with verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Now, some of you reading that say, well, wait a second, what is this in Exodus? Because you were familiar with reading that very same thing in the New Testament about the church, and you're right, and that's why I put the scripture reference there. It was the Apostle Peter who in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, says the exact same thing. Do you know why Peter says the exact same thing about the church, a royal priesthood, and a kingdom, and a holy people unto the Lord? Because he's quoting the book of Exodus about God's church, as it were, in the old covenant, and the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, and now being applied to the church, which is made of both Jew and Gentile, made into one new man. So this is a powerful statement of God's love and of his grace and of his protection. So then, where will they go? Where in the world will they flee? And we find that there is an interesting place mentioned in the Bible called Bozrah. There's another name for that same geographic area that is called Petra. And the answer to where they will flee in the ancient times is called in the Bible Bozrah. And in Micah chapter 2, verse 12, we read this scripture. Let's read it out loud. "I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men." What Micah is prophesying here is that the Lord is saying, I will assemble Jacob. I'm going to bring all of them, and I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I'm going to bring them together as sheep in this place called Bozrah. Bozrah means in Hebrew sheepfold. As the flock in the midst of their fold. And then the Lord adds this commentary, they shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. In other words, it's not a small remnant. It is a monstrous, huge multitude, not just hundreds or thousands or even tens of thousands, but hundreds of thousands, possibly even millions. In other words, the sound that they make when God gathers them and protects them is enormous. Okay, having said all of that, I want to stop for just a moment and go, so what? You're here maybe and you're going, okay, interesting. Here we are at this church studying Revelation, the end times. Maybe I understand, maybe I don't. What does this have to do with me though? And this is what the Lord answered my prayer with. So that which I have received from the Lord now, I would like to share with you. I realize that there are many of you that are right now, forget about the future and the problems of the Middle East or whatever's going on in the future, what about right here, right now? You may already be suffering. You may already be in tribulation. Or it could be physically something all of a sudden, as if I'm not, you know, juggling enough balls in the air. Now I have something physical. I can't take it anymore. How am I going to deal with this? Lord, what am I going to do? This is when it becomes personal. As the Lord said to Israel, when this day comes that you are surrounded, when you are your most weak and vulnerable, and the enemy comes hot and heavy, breathing against you, threatening you with anger, and you feel ready to be devoured, know this, I am your good shepherd. I have gone before you, and I have a place prepared for you. Stick as close to me, your shepherd, as you possibly can. The Lord loves you. The Lord is with you. The Lord has gone before you, no matter what you're facing today, no matter what is causing you panic and anxiety and sleepless nights or tears in your pillow at night. He knows about it. He has compassion upon it. And if you will cry out unto the Lord, this poor man cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his fears. The Lord is your good shepherd. He has gone before you. He's prepared a place even in the presence of your enemies. And we do not need to be afraid as we purpose to trust in Him. Amen?
Good reassurance from Pastor Ray Bentley from our studies today in Revelation here on Maranatha Radio. Glad you've joined us today. Now, this study is available on CD. We'll send it to you for a gift of any size. Get in touch and ask for the message called The Dragon Slayer. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Revelation on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're excited to tell our listeners about a novel idea you had. What was that novel idea? It was the idea to write a novel.
Yes.
Isn't that a little unusual for a pastor, you know, to jump into the literary fiction pool?
You know, it is. And thankfully, I have help on this. I didn't write it alone. I wrote it with one of the premier Christian fiction writers for the last several decades. Her name is Bodhi Taney. Along with her husband, Brock Taney, they have been a team that for decades, many, many people have read their books, the Zion Chronicles, the rebirth of Israel, kind of historical, true, but fictional characters that fill in the story. She's sold over 35 million copies of her books. And recently, by God's providence, we met. And I told her, wow, I've read your books. I'm so amazed, so impressed. And I said, look, I don't know if you've ever done this before. As far as I know, you've never co-written with anybody. And so Bodhi said, well, her and Brock, you know what? We're not going to say no. We have never done this before. We've never accepted many people that have wanted or tried to write with us, but let us pray about it. So they went and prayed about it. My translation is they went and did some research, find out if I was a nut or if I was okay. And they said, well, I guess he's okay. And they came back and they said, we would consider it. And so we got together, we met Brock and Bodhi, myself and my wife, and I told them my thoughts, my ideas. And Bodhi said, we're on. We're in, and we're super excited. We believe that God reserved us. We've never written about modern Israel and prophetic things. It's always been in the past. And so it was kind of like, you know, what's happening right now in the Middle East and the building of the temple, the coming of the Lord, and everything that's happening in Jerusalem. So I am so excited about it. I can't wait for people to read it. I want them to get this book. It's called On the Mountain of the Lord. The eyes of the world for 70 years have been focused on Israel. But recently, the inside of that is the eyes of the world are focused on the city of Jerusalem. That's what this book is all about. There's one mountain that is the most controversial mountain in heaven and on earth, because it's that mountain that God sent his son Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. It was to that mountain he came and died. It's that mountain where he was buried. It's that mountain he rose from the dead. It's that mountain he ascended into heaven. And Dave, to the very same mountain he's coming back. The Mountain of the Lord. So I can't wait for people to read it. They're going to love it.
Yeah, they are. And once again, the title of this new novel is On the Mountain of the Lord. Get in touch today for your own copy. We'll send it to you to thank you for your donation. You choose the amount. But remember that your support is what makes it possible for us to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day. So get in touch today for your copy of On the Mountain of the Lord. Write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Revelation. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.